The Wonderful Wizard of Oz by Frank L. Baum. Chapter 9. The Queen of the Field Mice. We cannot be far from the road of yellow brick now, remarked the Scarecrow, as he stood beside the girl, for we have come nearly as far as the river carried us away. Tin Woodman was about to reply. We heard a low growl. Turning his head, which thrilled beautifully on hinges, saw a strange beast now bounding over the grass toward them. Is indeed a great yellow wildcat. The woodman thought it must be chasing something, for his ears were lying close to its head and mouth. Mouth was wide open, showing two rows of ugly teeth, with his red eyes glowed like balls of fire. As it came nearer, the tin woodman saw running before the beast was a little grey field mice. Although he had no heart, he knew it was wrong for the wildcat to try to kill such a pretty, harmless creature. So the woodsman raised his axe. As the wildcat ran by, he gave it a quick blow, cut the beast's head clean off his body. It rolled over his feet in two pieces. Then the field mouse now is free of its enemy, and stopped short, and coming slowly to the woodsman, it said in a squeaky little voice, "Oh, thank you so much for saving my life." "Don't speak of it, I beg of you," replied the woodsman. "I have no heart, you know, so I am careful to help all those who need a friend, even if it happens to be only a mouse." "Only a mouse?" cried the little animal indignantly. "Why, I am queen of all the field mice." "Oh, indeed," said the woodman, making a bow. "Therefore you have done a great deed, as well as a brave one, and saved my life," added the queen. That moment several mice were seen, running up as fast as their little legs could carry them. And when they saw the queen, they exclaimed, "Oh, your majesty, we thought you would be killed. How did you manage to escape the great wildcat?" They all bowed so low, the little queen, they almost stood upon their heads. "Yes, funny little tin man," she answered. "Killed the wildcat and saved my life. So hereafter, you must all serve him, obey his slightest wish." "He will," cried all the mice, in shrill chorus. And when his scabbard and all wretches of Toto awakened from his sleep, and seeing all those mice around him, he gave one bark of delight and jumped right into the middle of the group. Toto always loved to chase mice when he lived in Kansas. He saw no harm in it. But the wizard woman caught the dog in his arms and held him tight, while he called to the mice, come back, Toto shall not hurt you." And as the queen of mice struck her head out from underneath a clump of grass, and asked in a timid voice, "Are you sure he will not bite us?" "I'll not let him," said the woodsman. So do not be afraid." One by one, the mice came creeping back, and Toto did not bark again, although he tried to get out woodsman's arms. They would have bitten him. He did not know very well. He made a tin. Finally, one of the biggest mice spoke. "If anything we do, it asks to pay you for saving the life of our queen." "Nothing that I know of," answered the woodsman. Gerko had been trying to think, but could not because his head was stuffed with straw. He said quickly, "Oh yes, you can save our friend, the cowardly lion, who is asleep in the poppy field bed." "A lion?" cried the little queen. "Why, he would eat us all up." "No, no," declared the scarecrow. "This lion is a coward." "Really?" answered the mouse. "He says so himself," answered the scarecrow. "He never hurts anyone who is your friend. If you help us, you save him. I promise he shall treat you all with kindness." "Very well," said the queen. "We trust you, but what shall we do? There are many of those mice which call you queen." "Are there many of those mice that which call you queen, or willing to obey you?" "Oh, yes, there are thousands," she replied. "And send them all to come here as soon as possible. Let each one bring us a long piece of string." Queen turned to the mice that attended her and told them to go at once to get all the other people. As soon as they heard her orders, they ran away in every direction as fast as possible. "Now," said the scarecrow to the tin woodman, "you must go to those trees on the river side and make a truck that carried a lion." The woodsman went at once to the trees and began to work. He soon made a truck out of the limb the trees, which he chopped away all the leaves and branches. He fastened together wooden pegs, made the four wheels out of short pieces of big tree trunk. So fast and so well did he work that by the time the mice began to arrive, the trap was all ready for them. They came from all directions. There were thousands of them, big mice, the little mice, and middle-sized mice. Each one brought a piece of string in his mouth. About his time, Dorothy woke from a long sleep and opened her eyes. She was greatly astonished to find herself lying upon the grass, thousands of mice standing around and looking intimately. The scarecrow told her about everything. Turning to the dignified little mouse, he said, "Let me introduce you to your majesty, the queen." Dorothy nodded gravely. The queen made a curtsy, after which she became quite friendly with the little girl. Scarecrow and Wolfman now began to fasten the mice to the trap using the strings they had brought. One end of the string was tied around the neck of each mouse, and the other end of the trap. Of course, the trap was a thousand times bigger than any of the mice who were to draw it. But when all the mice had been harnessed, they were able to pull it quite easily. Either Scarecrow and the Tin Woodman could sit on it. They were drawn swiftly by their queer horses to a place where the lion lay asleep. But a great deal of hard work from the lion was heavy. They managed to get him up on a track, and then the Queen, Harry, gave other people the order to start, for he feared it was mice tired, staying along the puppies too long, they would fall asleep. At last, the cruel creatures, many though they were, could hardly stir their heavily laden trap, but the woodsman and Scarecrow both pushed from behind. They get along better. Soon they rode the lion out of the purple field, the green fields where he could breathe the sweet, fresh air again, instead of poisonous scent of flowers. Dorothy came to meet them and thanked the little mice warmly for saving companion from death. She had grown so fond of the big cat lion, she was glad he'd been rescued. Then the mice were unharnessed, the trap them scarpered away the grass to their homes. The queen of mice was last to leave. "If you need us again," she said, "come out into the field and call. We shall hear you and come to your sisters. Goodbye." "Goodbye," they all answered. Away the queen ran, while Dorothy held Toto lightly, lest he should run after her and frighten her. After this, they sat down beside the lion till he should awaken. A scarecrow brought Dorothy some fruit from a pet tree nearby, which she ate for her dinner. Chapter 10. The Guardian of the Gate. It was some time before the Cowardly Lion awakened. He had laid among the poppies a long while, breathing in a deadly fragrance. When he did open his eyes and rolled off the truck, he was very glad to find himself still alive. "As I ran as fast as I could," he said, sitting down and yawning. "The flowers was too strong for me. How did you get me out?" They all told him of the field mice, and how they had generously saved him from death. The Cowardly Lion laughed and said, "Oh, we've been in fault. We're suffering big and terrible. And such little things and flowers came near to killing me. Such small animals as mice have saved my life. How strange it all is. Our comrades, what should we do now?" "We must journey on until we find the road of yellow brick again," said Dorothy. "Then we can keep on to the Emerald City." The lion, being fully refreshed and feeling quite himself again, they all started upon the journey, greatly enjoying the walk through the soft, fresh grass. Not long before they reached the road of yellow brick, turned again towards the Emerald City, where the great Oz dwelt. The road was smooth and well paved. Now the country about the was beautiful, so the travellers rejoiced and leave the forest far behind. With it, the many dangers they had met in its gloomy shades. Once more they would see fences built beside the road. These were painted green when they came to a small house in which a farmer evidently lived, also painted green. We passed several of these houses. During the afternoon, sometimes people came to the doors, looked at them, if they would like to answer questions. No one came near them, spoke to them, because of the great lion, which they were very much afraid. The people all dressed in clothing of lovely emerald green colour, and wore peaked caps and those of bumpkins. This must be the land of Oz, said Dorothy. We are all surely getting near the Emerald City. Yes, answered the Scarecrow. Everything is green here. While the country of the bumpkins blue was a favourite colour, then people do not seem to be so friendly to the bumpkins. Afraid we shall be unable to find a place to pass the night. I should like to have something to eat besides fruit, said the girl. I'm sure Toto was nearly starved. Let us stop at the next house and talk to the people. So when they came up to a good sized house, Dorothy walked boldly up to the door and knocked. The woman opened it just far enough to look out and said, What do you want, child? Why is that great lion view? We wish to pass the night with you, if you allow us, answered Dorothy. A lion is my friend and comrade. It would not hurt you for all the world. You see tame? She asked the girl. Asked the woman. Open the door a little wider. Oh, yes, said the girl. He's a great coward, too. He'll come, he's more afraid of you than you are of him. Well, said the woman, after thinking over and taking another peep at the lion. If it's the case, that is, if that is the case, you may come in. I'll give you some supper and a place to sleep. So they all attended to the house. They were, besides a woman, two children and a man. The man hurt his leg, and they were lying on the couch in the corner. He seemed greatly surprised to see so strange a company. While the woman was busy laying the table, the man asked, Where are you all going? To Emerald City, said Dorothy, to see the great Oz. Indeed, exclaimed the man. Are you sure the Oz will have see you? Why not? She replied. Why, it's said he never lets anyone come into his presence. I have been to the Emerald City many times. Beautiful, wonderful place, but never has been meant to see the great Oz, nor do I know of any living person who has seen him. Does he ever go out? Asked the Scarecrow. Never. He sits day after day, great through his palace. Even those who wait upon him do not see him face to face. What is he like? Asked the girl. That is hard to tell, said the man thoughtfully. You see, Oz is a great wizard and can take on him many forms he wishes. So some say he looks like a bird. Some say he looks like an elephant. Some say he looks like a cat. Others he appears a beautiful fairy or a brownie or any other form that pleases him. But who the real Oz is when he is his own form, no living person can tell. It's very strange, said Dorothy, but we must try in some way to see him, or we shall have made our journey for nothing. Why do you wish to see the terrible Oz? Asked the man. I want him to give me some brains, said the Scarecrow eagerly. Oh, Oz could do it easy enough, declared the man. He has more brains than what he needs. I don't want him. Give me heart, said the woodman. I will not trouble him, continued the man, for Oz has a collection of hearts, all sizes and shapes. I want him to give me courage, said the lion. Oz keeps a great pot of courage in his throne room, said the man. This is covered with a great gold plate. Keep it from running over. He'll be glad to give you some. I want him to send me back to Kansas, said Dorothy. Where is Kansas, said the woman, then, with surprise. I don't know, replied Dorothy sorrowfully. But it's my home. I'm sure it is somewhere. Very likely, well, Oz can do anything. So I suppose he'll find Kansas for you. But first you must get to see him. That would be a hard task. A great wizard doesn't like to see anyone, and he usually has his own way. And what do you want? He continued speaking and Toto only wagged his tail. But strange to say, he could not speak. The woman now called to them that their supper was ready, so they gathered around the table. Dorothy ate some delicious porridge, a dish of scrambled egg, plate them nice white bread, enjoyed a meal. The lion ate some of the porridge, did not care for it, saying it was made from oaks, and oaks are made food for the horses, not for lions. Scarecrow and the Tin Woodman ate nothing at all, and Toto ate a little of everything, glad to get a good supper again. A woman now gave Dorothy a bed to sleep in. Dodo lay but down beside her. A lion guarded the door of a room she might not be disturbed. Scarecrow and Tin Woodman stood up in the corner and kept quiet all night although, of course, they could not sleep. Next morning, as soon as the sun was up, they started on their way. They soon saw beautiful green glow in the sky just before them. That must be the Emerald City, said Dorothy. They walked on, the green glow became brighter and brighter. It seemed at last they were nearing the end of their travels, yet it was afternoon when they came to the great wall that surrounded the city. It was high and thick, of bright green colour. In front of them, at the end of the road of yellow brick, was a big gate all studded with emeralds. It did it in so the sun, and when even the painted-eyed scarecrow were dazzled by the brilliancy. There was a bell inside the gate, and Dorothy pushed the button, heard a silvery twinkle sound within. Then the great big gate swung slowly open. They all passed through and found themselves a high arched room, walls of which glistened countless emeralds. Before they stood a little man, the same size as Munchkins, who clothed all in green, from his head to his feet, and even his skin was rich tint. At his side was a large green box. When he saw Dorothy and her companions, the man asked, What do you wish in the Emerald City? Came in to see the Great Oz, said Dorothy. Man was so surprised at his answer, he sat down to think over. It had many years since anyone asked me to see Oz, he said, shaking his head in flexibility. He's powerful and terrible. You come on an idle or foolish errand, but bother your wise reflections of the great wizard. He might be angry and destroy all of you in an instant. But it's not a foolish errand, nor an idle one, replied the scarecrow. Pardon, we have been told that Oz is a great good wizard. So he is, said the green man. He rules the Emerald City wisely well, but to those who are not honest, who approach him from the curiosity, he's most terrible. And few had ever asked him, dared ask to see his face. I'm the guardian of the gates, and since you demand to see the great ones, I must take you to his palace. But first you must put on the spectacles. Why? For Dorothy. Because if you did not wear spectacles, brightness and glory of this Emerald City would blind you. Even those who live in the Emerald City must wear spectacles night and day. They are locked on, for Oz so ordered it. When a city was first built, I have the only key that will unlock them. He opened a big box, and Dorothy saw, with filled with spectacles, every size and shape, all of them with green glass at the end. The queen, guarding the gates, found a pair that would fit Dorothy, put them over her eyes, the two gold bands fastened them. They passed around the neck, back of the neck, where they were locked together. A small key that was at the end of the chain, guarding the gates, wore round his neck. When they were on, Dorothy could not take them off, which she wished. But of course, she did not wish to be blinded by the glare. Let me see. She said nothing. A green man fitted spectacles with scarecrow, little tin woodsman, and lion, even a little Toto. They all looked a lot faster with the key. Then the guardian of the gates put on his own glasses and told him he was ready to show them to the palace. Taking a big golden key from a peg of the wall, he opened another gate. They all followed him through the portal into the streets of the Emerald City.